Well, I'm absolutely delighted to welcome back to our studio a chef who has been so busy that we haven't managed to snag him for the food segment in, I think, 2 years or more. Chartwell Raven, you're not allowed to stay away that long next time. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be back, and good afternoon to everybody out there.
Of course, our listeners know Chart as a judge on the Great South African Bake Off and, of course, as a guest chef on the TV show Espresso as well. But you also probably know from previous interviews, he has literally traveled the world creating beautiful food and extravagant dining experiences for clients in every corner of the planet. And I'm so pleased to have him with us today to chat about his brand new cookbook, which has just come out, called Summer Food, published by Strake Lifestyle. And if you want to pick his brain with a foodie question, you are welcome to call in on 021-446-0567 or to leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. My previous guest was chatting about the support within the restaurant community and how the chefs, although they are rivals, also encourage excellence and support one another. Is that in your experience, or is it more cutthroat than that?
Oh, no, no, definitely. There's loads of encouragement, I must say. Yep. Now, I've been very fortunate the last couple of years to join the Eat Out team, and, you know, I've actually presented at the awards each year for the last three odd years. And it is, it's amazing the camaraderie together. And, you know, we've just got to keep doing that. And right across the board in every industry, the more we can do that. I mean, I know we've got the famous good old hashtag I'm staying at the moment and all this positivity. And you know what? I tell you, it really is amongst the chefs, and they're all out there. Yes, you've got to deal with the egos, and yes, they, you know, of course they clash. It's not, cut by the bush about that. But very much so, they are there supporting and rooting each other right throughout. And it's great to see.
That's fantastic. We're not here to talk about them, but we're here to talk about you and your book. Tell me, summer cooking. I mean, the book is called Summer Food. What's the sort of food philosophy that informs it, that is breathing through this book?
Well, you know, we have this wonderful lifestyle living in South Africa and in this part of the world where you literally have, okay, apart from today, you know, summer for 9 months of the year, at least, if not 10 months of the year. And, you know, entertaining. But what I really want to do is to actually make it accessible to everybody and anybody in the kitchen. So even if you're not a really big foodie, or, you know, don't cook all the time, or can't be creative in your own space, this book is for you as well. So right down from someone that's novice that just wants to create a beautiful recipe to entertain maybe a couple of friends, maybe even a little date or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of recipes in there. And then right up to a few ones that are a little bit more challenging, likes of, you know, doing souffles, all those sort of ones that are, you know, demystified in some form or another, and given some wonderful step-by-step approaches when it comes to, you know, even carving the Sunday roast.
Yeah, I've got to say that the sort of advice and tips throughout the book are fantastic. We're going to talk about a couple of those. I mean, when Char talks about accessibility, I picked up this book over the weekend and I went, ooh, there's a recipe for roast beef and Yorkshire pudding. And I realized my kids have never in their lives had Yorkshire pudding. And my daughter's nearly 16.
Goodness.
So I'm like, okay, we're fixing that tonight. And it was an easy to follow recipe. The beef turned out great. I confess I did slightly overcook the Yorkshire pudding.
Well, rather have them baked through, that's fine.
My fault, not yours. I did not pay attention to setting the timer. So entirely my fault. What I love, though, is throughout the book, whether it's how to carve the particular joint, whether it is how you treat garlic or ginger in preparation for the dishes, you talk through really simple, easy to follow practical steps, even down to how to steam fish and chicken on your stovetop, which is something I'd never really thought of doing at home.
Yeah.
Tell us briefly how you do it.
So basically things like that, is keep it really simple. You know, trying to, you know, improvise. You know, actually yesterday for some reason my rolling pin's gone MIA out of the kitchen. So I use a wine bottle, and then, you know, for those that have seen, you know, I made scones and the cookie cutter's also disappeared. So I realized my briefcase was somewhere else, but I used a glass. So you can improvise and something like that you can create, you know, using a baking tray, a little bit of water, and you can put a rack on top of that. And basically it's suspended above everything. And then you just put a piece of tinfoil on top of that.
And tea leaves in the bottom.
And there we go. So, yeah, for the smoking, obviously, you just put a straight baking tray, put your tea leaves on there and allow ignite it then to allow the tea leaves to smoke. It doesn't have to be on gas. You can do it on electric as well. Get those tea leaves smoking, little rack above that so your actual protein sits above that. Pop your piece of chicken or your piece of fish on top, cover it, and guess what? 20 minutes, you've got your own home-smoked, you know, chicken. I mean, or fish or whatever you've got to put into it.
You don't need any gadgets. You need a baking tin and some tin foil.
No, that's it. You know, that's what I want to make the book accessible in that way. You don't have to have what we have, all the fancy tools and the gizmos and gadgets. You know, get creative. If there's an alternative, use it, and don't be scared not to use it. You know, going back to your oven, you know, everyone's oven's different. You know, I can say to you, you know, your Yorkshire puddings are going to take 35 minutes at, 240 degree heat, but our ovens all vary as well. So give it a little bit of give and take, and, you know, use your senses. Always say, you know, look. If it doesn't look like it's burning, it's doing well. You know, smells not smelling like it's burning, also doing pretty well. When it starts to burn and you're smelling burn, then you know, then you jump around.
What fascinated me, biggest surprise of the book, was the comment that you can poach eggs in advance.
Yes.
Okay, so poaching eggs for many people on its own is something that they don't attempt. But to be able to do it in advance was a real surprise. Tell us, what's your method and how far in advance?
So basically, so 2-3 days in advance. Really? So, you know, if I've got people, like 20 people for breakfast and I want to do Eggs Benedict, and I'm saying this to everybody as well, you can have poached eggs. You know, everyone likes says you got to cook, you know, this cook to order. You know, there's a famous TV show which I won't name and shame in that regard. This cooking to fresh, it doesn't exist. But poach your eggs. You know, 10% must be vinegar. We'll just taste it, so it tastes lovely and vinegary. Crack your eggs into there, 3 or 4 at a time. And then once they've basically cooked or got to the desired consistency you want, so if you want them, you know, really soft, then take them out at the soft stage or medium or hard, and then plunge them to ice cold water. And that stops the cooking process. Mm-hmm. From there, take them out, and then you take all the little frilly little bits and pieces and all the little, you know, nuances, and then put into another clean bowl of water or container, and then you store that in the fridge. And then when you come to the next day or the 2 days later, you have your big pans on, bring them up to boiling water, and all you need to do is pop those eggs back in. They're already cooked. You don't need to cook them anymore. You just need to warm them through.
Yeah.
Pop them in for a minute or so, and guess what? You have got 40 beautiful poached eggs, all exactly the same. So when you serve every single guest is happy. And the name of the game, you know, as we're talking about Eat Out, is consistency to win.
That is incredible. Okay, so who knew? In terms of the technique, you said vinegar in the water. Do you bring it to a sort of a rolling boil, then slide them
Get up to boil and then slide them in. I mean, if you really want to be, you know, fancy, actually the typical shape of a poached egg should be a shape of a torpedo or a teardrop. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you create a centrifugal force of the water. So take a whisk and start, you know, spinning the water around, and then drop your water, your egg into that actual water, and the actual egg starts spinning round and round, and that creates a sort of rounded sort of in the front and a little tail piece at the end. But make sure your peas, poached eggs, fresh eggs and cold eggs are the number one rule.
Fresh and cold. So this is one recipe where you don't take the eggs out of the fridge.
No, because what happens is white album sort of becomes very loose and what have you, and then it just sort of sprays all everywhere. So you want to keep that album really nice and tight around the actual yolk.
Unlike when you're baking, there's a whole section. Of course, the man who's from the SA Bake Off is going to have a baking chapter, and it's going to be full of great advice.
Indeed.
You talk a lot about temperature in that section, Chart. Let's just revisit a couple of those points. Why does the temperature of the ingredients make such a big difference to the outcome of baking?
Well, it goes down to the actual how, you know, things bind together. You know, and same, you know, going back to eggs as well, you know, eggs, when I want them in baking, what they're there for, they're there for a raising agent. So I want them loose. I want them to bind onto every other component of ingredients. So when it rises evenly, if that is the raising agent, for instance. Mm-hmm. So it's very important, you know, that, the ingredients can obviously bind together. So if anything's at room temperature, things are going to bind at room temperature. If something's cold and something hot, what happens? It becomes lukewarm. So chemically, you're starting to change that structure.
Okay.
So very important to, you know, to adhere to little tips like that. So yes, baking eggs, you know, at room temperature, your butter, it needs to be either soft or it needs to be chilled, you know, and there's reasons why it needs to be chilled as well. And then obviously the process of actually bringing ingredients together. Now, there's lots of different ways of how some people bring things together. I mean, I remember when I was shooting the book with the fabulous stylist, Caitlin, and, you know, she says, why are you putting your butter and your egg yolks together to start? I said, well, because similar consistencies bind together better, where usually the butter's always added at the very end. So it's little things like that, you know, are important, that technically make out for, hopefully, the perfect bake.
I mean, you even go so far as to point out that you need to be aware of the time of the year and how even if you're using the same brand of flour, it might behave differently in summer than in winter.
Absolutely. You know, we pick up so many recipes, and you know, yes, Google's our great friend out there at the end of the day, and we all go and Google a recipe, and you know, we've seen it from Bake Off, and we always have a good chuckle. But you know, your flour in Europe is completely different to our flour here. You know, for instance, you know, their flour in the winter is a lot wetter because they're having a wet winter. It's a bit like Cape Town applies that as well. Do you know, winter times, actually, our flour is damper. So you got to change things. You know, the size of our eggs, you know, our large egg is the equivalent of a medium European size and American size egg. Uh-huh. The weight is still the same, but the actual measurement's different. So if it says to you, you know, get a medium egg, actually you have to, and you're using a UK recipe, you actually need to select a large South African egg.
Good to know. Okay.
I know that's another whole thing.
My mind is scrolling through all of the mess ups I've made in the kitchen going, so that's what happened there. Okay. I want to just mention a couple of the individual recipes that jumped out. I mean, besides all the tips, there are tips on deboning chicken and how to stuff a deboned leg of lamb, for example. I noticed that your roast lamb, you prefer a shoulder over a leg. What is it about the shoulder cut that you
Well, shoulder's got so much flavor. You know, it's a real working joint. And you know, when you do this, the pulled lamb shoulder from the book. It is just one of those things. You just shove it into the oven. You just leave it alone. The longer, the better. You know, and that's what it's all about. And it's just the flavor, the fat coats the meat. It keeps it moist. It keeps it succulent. It keeps it tender. And it really is just one of those really forgiving cuts that, you know, you actually just got to cook the hell out of it to make it work. Where something like with a leg, I mean, it's a wonderful cut and there's a beautiful deboned leg of lamb with a wonderful walnut stuffing, which is fantastic as well. But you've got to be a bit more technically spot on for that. Yeah. Where the shoulder really is something that, you know, is a little bit more forgiving.
And then, of course, you go and pour over a sauce that's got capers and anchovies in it. And my mouth just filled up with saliva reading the recipe because it's my favorite thing in the world. Okay, so that is a highlight for me. I also stopped. I got to the recipe for the Mediterranean loaf and I looked at the picture and I went, I'm hungry. Tell us a little bit about what goes into this recipe.
Oh, it's one of those beautiful, it's a gorgeous picture that. And literally, so you're just taking a loaf, a round loaf, lop the top of it, and then you take all the insides out. And those insides, you can either make breadcrumbs or, you know, just eat it with some fresh, you know, if it's fresh, you know, with some lovely butter or something like that. Yum. And there's just layers of roasted pepper, aubergine, basil, any sort of veg that you can. You can, of course, put bacon if you want to. This is one of my vegetarian options there. Yeah. A little line of mozzarella cheese in there, and just keep layering it. There's just multiples of layers going through it. And again, make this the day before, if not 2 days before, actually. Yeah. And then just wrap it up, keep it in the fridge, a little bit of weight on top of it, and then you slice it. And as you can see from a visual perspective, it is absolutely gorgeous.
I mean, it just shouts of a Cape Town picnic in the middle of summer.
It's exactly that. You know, we have this lifestyle. And again, you know, what I also wanted to get across as well is, you know, make things, but also make things so you can actually chill. And when your guests come around, you can spend time together. You know, I go to so many parties and they're all running around in the kitchen and all flustered and all the rest. I've got to do this and I can do that and all, you know, the cook to, you know, cook fresh or cook to order kind of thing. Nonsense. Get it out and done. You know, I mean, I always say, you know, your restaurants now, we're nearly 2 o'clock now, so just finished lunch service. But, you know, can I tell you, most things are actually done for dinner service tonight already, if not half the prep's done. Absolutely. By 3-4 o'clock, guess what? Your dinner is actually already pre-done.
Because if not, you would sit waiting 3 hours for every dish to make to the table.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if we can adopt that at home, and that's what the book is about, is actually getting people to really sort of start, you know, preparing and planning, actually you enjoy your food experience so much more.
Interesting to get an email in from Vic who tells me we arrived for breakfast at Bartholomew Clip and they had poached eggs waiting for us. So they clearly have cottoned onto your idea that you pre-cook
absolutely
to the point of perfection and then just warm through when
and
they need
warm them.
It.
And just warm them,
Interesting. Vic, thanks for the email. The lemon tart, it looks so good, the recipe for the lemon tart. And I smiled when I read it because I think I remember seeing you on one of the episodes of Bake Off where somebody's tart was not tart enough.
Absolutely.
You really like the very tart sensation.
Well, that's what it's about. Yeah. You know, you got to tickle my tartomometer, as we call it. And yeah, I want it sharp. You know, we don't want something so sickly sweet. You know, and unfortunately in South Africa, you know, we always end up throwing a tin of condensed milk. I was thinking of some other words to choose there. But anyway, yes, I want it sharp. You want that wonderful sharpness to go with it because that's what you're making, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to keep that balance. I mean, you can take that My Lemon Tart and you can put your whipped meringue on. You've got lemon meringue pie done. Yep. And then obviously the picture's quite striking. You know, and I've just literally taken blackberries and frozen them. And it's literally like having a fresh sorbet without having to make the hassle of a sorbet. So
you just take the berries, wash
just
them,
berries,
in the freezer.
Shove them straight into the freezer and then pop them out. And then, of course, you know, within 10 to 15 seconds, they take on the sort of whitey, snowy hue on the outside and they look absolutely gorgeous.
I mean, the photo does just leaps off the page on this one. A good tart lemon tart with frozen blackberries on top is one I'm still going to try and make. Quick SMS question from Carol. Wondering about asparagus because I think we are heading back into asparagus season.
Yep.
I know you've got a couple of dishes in the book that call for it. She's confused as to whether and when you need to peel asparagus.
So asparagus, obviously, look, when it's thicker and it's a thicker asparagus. So when it's very, very small, it's obviously from what I call a young crown.
Yeah.
Remembering a crown takes about 5 years to develop before you can actually harvest asparagus from there. So the narrow, thin asparagus, great, that's easy. It's the more woodier ones. So the chunkier ones, when you're getting the green asparagus, when it sort of looks quite woody and sort of white at the end. But again, can always just snap your asparagus, and wherever it snaps is the perfect breaking point of its moisture content, and the fiber is starting to actually dry out in the asparagus.
That's very clever. Okay, so you discard the dry woody bit at the end.
Just try it. Yeah, so literally just take it and just snap it, and that point of where it snaps is the perfect point of where you want it. Then you can just sort of trim it up if you really want to be fancy, but you know what, just shove it in there and just enjoy.
Thank you so much for asking. We've learned so much today. Chad, final question is, what's next? The book is out. I hope you're going to get a chance to relax and cook from it with friends over the season.
Well, I must say, it's inspired me a little bit, actually. Yep. For the last couple of weekends on a Sunday, I've got into the kitchen and baked. I got my godchild in there in the book, which you probably saw a picture of. Yep. And, you know, we end up being together and we bake up a bit of a storm. So yes, I've got the book is out and I'm enjoying it, having lots of fun. I do have a very, very big project in the pipeline, which is not out yet, but it will be out and released in the next couple of weeks. But something very, very exciting for everybody here in the Cape Town and surrounds, should I say. So yes, look out for it on my social media pages at Chart Wallraven on Facebook and Instagram, because you'll see what's happening there. But there'll be a couple of teaser alerts. There was one the other day, but that I put out there. But there are a couple more coming out that I'm ready to rock and roll. But something very exciting. Hence, I'm usually in a jacket when I come and see you. I'm not in a jacket, so you'll excuse my dress code, which might hopefully not give too much away.
I suspect he's just served up the radio equivalent of an amuse-bouche for us. We'll keep you posted.
There we go.
Chart Wallraven, lovely to have you back in studio again. Don't stay away so long next time, please.
Thanks for having me.
Everyone, look out for the book called Summer Food. It is in stores now, published by Strake Lifestyle.